Well, this morning, straight in the lesson today, the guidelines for spiritual gifts, and the lesson is speaking in 1 Corinthians 14, and it's speaking about two of the gifts, and the gifts that is spoken of in this lesson is prophecy and speaking in tongues. Now, the Corinthian believers, if we remember our little bit of history here from the last few weeks, the Corinthian church has come from a very diversified background. I mean, they have the idols that they worship, they have the temples of prostitution. I mean, there's no moral direction in the city, and there's no moral direction, as it were, in that entire region. So people kind of lived and did whatever they felt was within their means to do. So they lived that type of, anything goes lifestyle. Well, the Corinthians had accepted Jesus and had accepted Christ as their risen Messiah, but they, as anyone, whenever you're beginning the Christian walk, we have this difficulty in finding, well, what is the path that we are to follow? And in following or finding a path, we often are associated with the church where we feel most blessed or secure or gives us a path of understanding for our life, people kind of settle there. Well, we find it in Corinth, the different groups that people were associating themselves we mentioned in the past, was that some believed that they were following Paul's teachings and Peter's teachings and Apollos and some Christ. So there was four major divisions in the town of Corinth. And so Paul writes about, you give up all those four and recognize that unity of the Spirit is more important than following a person. So unity of the Spirit following Christ. Well, in today's lesson, there is no shortage of gifts operating in the Corinthian church, the spiritual gifts, but they are, again, as somewhat happens in the church of Corinth, it's out of proportion, it's out of balance. So the balance that, the question that comes to Paul is, okay, what about these spiritual gifts? What about prophecy? What about this? And how is it working? Well, Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth and Rome and to Ephesus, he talks about the gifts. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts that he imparts to us. They are things divinely imparted to our lives. Now, the fruits of the Spirit are the things that grow in our lives. Love, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness, long-suffering. Those types of things. Those are the fruits that develop in our life like a tree that is to give fruit for apples or pears or peaches or whatever. So they develop over a period of time. Well, the same thing is with the fruits of the Spirit. They develop over a period of time. But the gifts of the Spirit, they are divinely imparted to us by God for a specific purpose. And the specific purpose is for the benefit of the entire congregation. So today we see how that Paul is addressing this concern to the church at Corinth about how that they are handling the spiritual gifts and how that they are in particularly dealing with speaking in tongues and prophecy. Now, I know that in years past that in the charismatic movement or the Pentecostal movement, the gifts were associated with basically being out of control. Sometimes the people were, they would say, well, those people were the holy rollers, they roll down the aisle and things like that. But the Spirit, the Spirit is always subject to the prophet, meaning that God does not overpower our lives to the point that we lose control. We submit to, we allow the Spirit to gain and work in our lives, but not to the point where we become robots are unconsciously performing spiritual things. It doesn't happen that way. The idea is that we're not out of, that people who are under the influence of the Holy Spirit do not lose control of themselves or lose their minds and suddenly have the mind of God. And then they tell you what God is telling them, and then you're supposed to obey it because they heard from God and you have to listen because God said this, and you know, it's like, not so. If God were going to work like that, we'd have a disaster, because there would be people all the time telling us what God thought they should, what we should do, and it doesn't work that way. The only time that people say you were praying and something was up in your mind that about doing such and such a thing, and you hadn't told anybody, and you're praying about it, and I come up and say, well, you know, God has been talking to me about such and such. Does that balance with you? And if it does, that becomes a confirmation. If it doesn't, that means it's just wishful thinking on my part. Or I had an idea that maybe that's for me that I was supposed to do this and not for you. So the gifts of the Spirit aren't... they are God's way of helping us. They are gifts to us to help us develop who we are, but also to help us in edifying the body of Christ. God doesn't give to us gifting so that we are the big cheese and everybody else is, you know, a little cheese. So the church at Corinth, then, the church members had been graciously blessed with gifts of the Spirit. I mean, Corinth is a place where God has poured out his Spirit, and we use that term, poured out his Spirit, upon the congregation in a extraordinary fashion. I mean, people are just, we would call them, on fire for God and the whole works. But in the same token, they were misguided. They were uninformed. They left to themselves. And see, this is where the scriptures come into play, is that people who are spiritual, quote unquote, and they come and they have their own revelation from God, and that in this revelation that they have from God, it doesn't match up with what's in the Bible, well then they're not right. And there have been groups or individuals that have thought that they were not going to be involved in any church. They were just going to allow the Holy Spirit to guide them. And they went off the deep end on some tangent somewhere. So they ended up drinking Kool-Aid, the Jim Jones thing. You know, and God never, he's not this exclusive person. Like one person or one church is the exclusive hand of God, in the world, and one denomination, the exclusive denomination that understands God completely. And no, if that were so, we'd be it. But that's right. He's the only exclusive one, and. What we're trying to learn how to do, and how we're trying to allow God to work in our lives, is that God is seeking the best for us. And if God wants to seek the best, if God is seeking the best for us, what are we seeking? And that if God wants to bless us with gifts, are we open enough to receive them? And that becomes the challenge. So in the church at Corinth, the blessings and the giftings of the Spirit had become chaotic in there, you know, because a person has a gift of speaking in tongues, a prayer language. Well, Paul edifies this, and Paul explains, okay, now, when you get together and in an assembly, there should be a most two or three speaking in prayer language without an interpretation. And if there is no interpretation, then there is to be no more prayer language. So what was going on was in the common assembly it was a lot of people speaking in a language that was not known, and no one's being edified. Now, if the person by themselves is in their closet or in their prayer time praying to God, well, then that's the edification for their own spirit. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. So Paul understood what the giftings of the Spirit were, and the giftings of the Spirit are for, first of all, for our personal edification and in our personal place of prayer. Then in the personal place of prayer, we then go out to our work of service in the community, and then we come together as a congregation. And in a congregation, again, it is a matter of the wisdom and the grace and the mercy of God being bestowed upon us. So prophecy and speaking in tongues. Now, prophecy is, we often associate the word prophecy with foretelling the future. You know, the prophets of old spoke about the coming of the Messiah and how Jesus would come. That's prophecy. But the prophecy that is here in the gifts is a forthtelling. Like, I'm a prophetic minister. Not that I'm doing this for a profit. No. Prophecy, I'm not foretelling the future. God has given me a secret revelation to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow and in 10 years. No. A prophetic ministry would be a forthtelling, a ministry, a ministering of the gifts of the Spirit and of the teaching of the Word. So the forthtelling, the prophecy of the Word is to, of the Spirit, is to be able to explain the workings of God and the gifts. And in this case, whenever there would be a message in tongues and there would be an interpretation, the interpretation is not a translation. Okay? It is not a word-for-word verbatim type of translation. It is a generalization, a general message about what is being said. So God, in one sense, God is blessing someone with a gift and speaking a language that they've never learned, and then he's blessing someone else to be able to understand what God is trying to say to the assembly and then coming forth with that message. So God is coordinating this. And in the church at Corinth, this had become chaos. You know, everybody was doing their own thing, and so when you look back and think about, there could have been a lot of pride that and saying, well, we were of Paul and Apollos and Peter and of Jesus. So they were already splitting themselves up, and then they would be, well, who's the most spiritual of the group? Well, those who are following Jesus are obviously the most spiritual of the group, and they would, you know, and what they were doing is just building themselves up. And that's not what the ministry is about. So Paul begins chapter 14 with the very most important part of everything. What is it? That's it, love. Because if you don't love God and love people, you're going to abuse the giftings. You're going to abuse what you've got. God has... When we think about our relationship with God and we think about his love for us, what does love look like? You know, if and love would be a way of encouraging. So the giftings of the Spirit are for the encouragement and for edification, exhortation, and comfort. The gifts of the Spirit have three messages or three ministries: edification, exhortation, and comfort. To edify, to encourage, and to bring comfort. So it has nothing to do with self-expression, as in I'm telling you what God is. You know, no. This is what God. So we are using the gifts, and God uses the gifts in our life for those purposes: to edify, you know, to teach, to encourage, and to comfort. So in our prophecy, our forthtelling of the message, we are declaring God's goodness in our life for this moment and tomorrow. So it is a forthtelling of God's blessing. that heaven is a place, heaven is real, and we're going to, that, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, my word will never cease, that whenever absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is a forthtelling of the gospel for our present day, but also gives us hope for tomorrow. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So God, like a puzzle, is putting all things conforming and fitting together for our life, and God is in charge, and so we are trusting God with our life to fit the events of life into this working together, into this puzzle, and that it is going to work out to a divine good. So it is a forthtelling of the message, which gives us a hope. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so the sins of our life are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ over what he has done for us in the past. So the prophecy is about how that the word of God fits from the past, is very much real in the present, and continues to work into our life into the future. So Paul says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So go after a life of love. This is the Message Bible. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it. So love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, all the gifts of the Spirit. So he talks about love, in the giftings of love. Jan was mentioning that on Monday, they had a Holocaust survivor speak at an assembly. And she was saying how different it was. Because here's a person who had survived the prison camps, you know, as a child, and how that they would speak of forgiveness. And how that they would speak, how this person spoke of forgiveness, and it was such a, that there's no room for bitterness and there's no room for hatred in your life because it will just destroy you. And this lady who was a Holocaust survivor spoke of that. And how the extreme tragedies in which someone would lose their entire family would be killed, executed, and you know you're a homeless child in a concentration camp in which you know if somebody doesn't come soon you're dead, you know. So that type of forgiveness. So love then has to be this capacity that the Spirit gives us to be able to look at life and to be able to receive God's giftings so that we can love people more completely. I think it's, you know, I want to be a better minister, want to be a better pastor, want to be a better Christian. All right. Love God, love people more completely. And you'll be good at what you do. Okay. So I'm not trying to, you know, I want you to sit down and pay attention. I'm the king. I'm the big cheese whiz. Huh? Limburger cheese. You know, he's so cheesy, he stinks. So follow after charity. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. So in the Message Bible it says, give yourself to the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim his truth. If you praise him in private language of tongues, God understands, but no one else does. For you are sharing intimacy just between you and him. So when we think of what God has wanted us to have to receive these giftings, it's a gifting of intimacy between you and God that we are. You know, people don't know. How do we know how to pray about this? People don't know how to pray as they ought, but the Spirit intercedes for them with groanings and utterances which we don't have an understanding, you know. So groanings and utterances, a spiritual gift may be, oh, that's a sigh. Oh, no, that's a sigh. Well, God understands the sigh, you know. God understands what that sigh means. And so if we do it as a sigh of frustration that life is terrible and the world is going to hell in the handbag and I'm falling in and it's all over, God, you need to help me here. So one is a prayer and the other is complaining, you know. So we try to turn our life into prayer because God's God's intention in all of this is intimacy, closeness to us, right? It's not. It's how that God works. I'm going to talk about that this morning too, about how that, what does closeness to God look like? And what do I look like as I am closer to God? Okay? What is my attitude and my expectations and my, you know, how do I use my giftings as I become closer to God? How do I be more loving and caring and forgiving and seeking only the best for others? And, you know, in the church at Corinth, they weren't doing this. They were empowered by spiritual gifts, but they had them, they were taking the gifts and blessing and, or using them, and they weren't coming closer to God. They were using the giftings to go off course, and Paul is writing here to bring them back on course, to give them some foundational principles to look at about how the gifts of the Spirit operate. The one who prays, verse 5, the one who prays using a private prayer language, this would mean speaking in tongues, certainly gets a lot out of it. But proclaiming God's truth to church in a common language brings the whole church into growth and strength. So being in an assembly and being there with a gift of tongues where people speak in an unknown language, that it either has to be for, there has to be an interpretation given, or you just let it go and are seeing it as God's way of affirming that he is here and, you know, speaking to us. I want all of you to develop intimacy with God in prayer, but please don't stop with that. So the intimacy that we have with God is in that he is speaking to us and to our spirit, and that even though we don't understand, we still have an understanding that God is with us, just like Job and, you know, all the things that went wrong in his life, Daniel in the lion's den, I mean, three Hebrew children into the fiery furnace, you know, Paul being beaten with rods and dragged out of the city for dead. I mean, you know, there are these crises points in which we find ourselves, that people find themselves at, that don't add up, but there's a trust in their spirit that is greater than the event happening to them physically. And that's where we come along, and that there's a trust in our spirit that God is in charge and that God is going to take care of us and this is going to be okay. And it's not a trust in fate. It is a trust in our spirit joining, God's spirit joining with our spirit, that we are one with him, and that in this intimacy with God, we have all these things coming on, and we can't go, well, if we were that close, you certainly wouldn't have let this happen. But it doesn't work like that. Paul here speaks, apparently the Corinthians did not understand that the true purpose of the gifts was the edification of the church. Tongues without interpretation were common in their worship service, so no one understood but God, and the one was edified except the speaker. No one was edified but the except the speaker. In the speaker's spirit, he uttered mysteries. Though his spirit was under the direct influence of the Holy Spirit, his speaking was an activity of his spirit, not of his understanding. It was an activity of his spirit, not of his understanding. Okay. Paul later said, "If I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." He did not want them to discontinue the use of any of the gifts, but he recognized that tongues had gotten out of balance in their worship, and he told them if there was no one present to provide the interpretation, the speaker was to keep quiet and speak to himself and God. The gift of interpretation had the effect of turning tongues into an edification of the entire church. So, verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel in edifying of the church. That's verse 12. So if I speak, and this is the Message Bible, so if I speak in a way no one can understand, what's the point of opening your mouth? There are many languages in the world, and they all mean something to someone. But if I don't understand the language, it's not going to do me much good. It's no different with you. Since you're so eager to participate in what God is doing, why don't you concentrate on doing what helps everyone in the church? So when so their focus was out of focus. You know, they were consumed with the spiritual gifts, but they weren't thinking about helping anyone. And I think that God wants us to be who He is here. And Paul says in verse 18, "I am grateful to God for the gift of praying in tongues that He gives us for praising Him, which leads to wonderful intimacy we enjoy with Him. I enter into this as much or more than any of you." Okay, so Paul is affirming that he has the gift of tongues, but he prays in the Spirit. But when I'm in a church assembly for worship, I'd rather say five words that everyone can understand and learn from than to say 10,000 that sounds to others like gibberish. So we see that the whole work that we're looking at here is that God is at work trying to bring about an understanding of His Word and understanding to our spirit of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Verse 26, I like, and we'll close with this one. So here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. So you see that the giftings of God are very tangible, and that though we would desire to have the gifts operative in our life, even if they are operative in our life, we should gather together in this particular manner, we are there to teach a lesson, that we might be the Bible that people read. We were there to tell a story, give a personal testimony of how God has done something in our lives and been with us through certain problems that we faced. Lead a prayer, provide an insight. If prayers are often in tongues, two or three to the limit, then there has to be an interpretation. So we see that God is in charge and God wants to do a work in our life, and that the Holy Spirit is here to divide His gifts severally as He wills, and the giftings of the Spirit are for a purpose for the edification of the church, edification of the body of Christ. So when we come together, come with the idea of sharing something, a hymn, a lesson, a story, a prayer, an insight. So we're here to edify, to exhort, to comfort. And those are the reasons the giftings are in place. Amen. So that's why God gives us gifts. Amen. Father, we thank You for the giftings of Your Spirit, that God touch our hearts and our minds. God, we thank You for the natural wisdom and understanding that we have. But God, we also thank You that there is a divine insight that You place within our hearts and minds. God, that we can see things differently because of what You have done in our life, what You have revealed to us by Your Spirit of Your Word. We just ask, Lord, that You guide us, that we open our lives, our hearts, our minds to be individuals that will minister to the body of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.